changes to your commute. Get traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 8s on 103.5 FM, WTOP Radio. Now back on 107.7 FM.
Are you on Facebook? Do you Twitter? So does Federal News Radio. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio Facebook group. For the latest in federal news and government contracting, visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Acute myeloid leukemia, or AML, is an aggressive blood cancer. Dr. Tim Lay at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis explains, mutations discovered in a single gene appear responsible for treatment failure in many AML patients.
And what that usually means is the patients relapse earlier, and when you have relapsed AML, you're very, very lucky to go on to have a long-term survival, because the first relapse is usually the beginning of the end for patients with AML.
Dr. Lay adds that identifying this gene mutation could help determine whether or not to intensify treatment early. For details, visit www.cancer.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Delighted to have you with us back from a two-week Christmas vacation, New Year's, and glad to be back in the saddle here. My guest is, first guest of the year, is Tom Trabuca. He's Director of External Affairs for the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. In other words, he is, among other things, a spokesman for your thrift savings plan. And Tom, you were on Chris Dorbeck's show yesterday, and you had some fascinating numbers talking about the TSP. And as everybody who's has a 401k plan knows, we've had some bad years. The market was down, I think, 38-48% at one stage of the game. And as the former mayor of New York would say, how are we doing now?
Right. Well, we're doing much better right now, Mike, I will say. And it does tend to stick with you when you have those down years, 38-48%, as you say. And you remember those a long time. But we've kind of undergone a stealth rally here in the last couple of years, where returns have really slowly but surely come back very strong. We got the year-end numbers, of course, for 2010. And here, let me just run through the 2010 numbers for the five core TSP funds. Our G fund for 2010, the fund that, as you as you always say, never has a bad day, 2.81 return for the year, which in a period of low inflation and low interest rates is really quite good. Our F fund, the fixed income fund that has investment grade corporate and government bonds, the return is 6.71 for the F fund for 2010. C fund, this is the investment fund that tracks the S&P 500. These are the big blue chip stocks, the 500 biggest companies in the domestic stock market. That's up 15.06 for the year.
See, that's incredible. I mean, after what we've seen, it's up 15%. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. And, well, if you think that's incredible, our small cap fund, or our S fund, and this is really the small and medium sized capitalized companies in our S fund, the return for 2010, 29.06. And then finally, the I fund, the international fund, 7.94.
Well, you know, that S fund, the small cap, that's what many of the experts say is what usually comes back the fastest when you're having a recovery, are these small companies. And by small, we're not talking about mom and pop operations, but we're talking about those stocks and those companies on the New York Stock Exchange that are not in the top 500, but they're in the remaining, what is it, 4,500 or something
like
that?
That's right. It's approximately 4,500. Yeah. So, in fact, they used to call it the 4,500 fund. Now we call it the completion index because they've made a change. But those two indexes together, the S fund and the C fund, will give you the entire domestic stock market.
Okay, so you're invested in both of those. You are in everything you can be in.
You own corporate America. Yeah. That's right. And you own it in the allocations that it, of its market share, basically, of its value out there. And that's one of the beauties of using the index approach. that as companies gain strength, gain capitalization, then they become a larger share of the index. That kind of allocates that automatically for you.
I was looking at the text of the story that Chris Dorbeck wrote as a result of talking to you yesterday, and they were talking about the S fund here, again, the small cap, which had this humongous 29% return in 2010, but as you pointed out, every silver lining has a cloud, and that was preceded by 2 years where you had a 38% negative return, I think it was just really bad. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so if you go back and you look, and I pulled these numbers out for Chris's show the other day and just got a 6-year retrospective, if you will. If you go back to 2005, that S fund in 2005 returned 10.45, 2006, 1530, in 2007, 5.49. Then came 2008, the real estate bubble, following on the financial services bubble. That's the year everybody remembers. It lost 38.32. So that's following, three good years where you brought in about 30%, lost 38, but now have come back in 2009 with a 34.8 return, and 2010 with a 29.06 return.
You know, you're right about the psychological damage this does to you, because you said that S fund was bounced back 34%, almost 35% in 2009. I don't remember that at all. It just blew right past me.
Right, because people were still stinging from the losses and still, feeling that they're down in the hole. So they're hunkering down. Hopefully, for most of those people, they did not discontinue their contributions, because, of course, if they held their positions and continued to contribute, they were buying, as one of our friends says, when the market is on sale. The cost of those investments was down. The shares you were buying were less expensive, and so you were dollar cost averaging in. You had bought all the way up in those good years when the S fund was doing well and when the cost was high. If you continued buying, you also bought when it was down in the hole. And on average, you're doing well.
Which is the purpose of dollar cost averaging.
That's right. And repetitive investing, putting in the same amount of money on a regular schedule, regardless of where the market is. And that over time, you'll tend to pay the average cost, rather than if you're just in the market when you're feeling good, which is normally when the market's doing well, and it's costing top dollar. You want to be not just investing then, you want to be investing when the cost is down.
Well, during the 1990s, when I was still with the Washington Post, and we were getting double-digit returns. In fact, we were angry if we only got 19%, 25%. And a friend who was much better at numbers than I am, we had very similar 401k plan accounts in dollar value, and he worked up a spreadsheet for us, and every day I'd come in and we'd check our gains, how much we had, quote, made, and we were trying to decide whether to buy beach houses in Rehoboth or the Virgin Islands and what kind of yacht to go in. And then, of course, when it tanked, as it did, the dot-com bubble burst, it really sours you. So we've, of our generation, we've had two of these now, haven't we?
That's right. We were fortunate when we first started out here in the TSB in 1987. I can still recall when we had the 87 crash, if you recall, back then, getting calls from reporters, not from you, but from others who wanted to know how much the TSB had lost. And I was able to say absolutely nothing, because we're not in the markets yet. We only had the G fund in 1987. So we missed that one. But then you're right, we caught it in the 90s and we caught it in the aughts. And whatever bubble is out there getting expanded right now, we'll catch that at some point.
It will happen. It will happen.
It will happen. We just don't know where or when.
Got a great batch of questions from people. Today's column said that you would be our guest and invited people to email us, and we did. Got a list of great ones here from Tammy in Virginia. She says, what is the date for the L2050 fund to be open to contributions? And explain that. That's the L2050 fund is for people who, it's a target fund. This is for people who going to start withdrawing their money about the year 2050. So these would be young new employees for the most part. And it has a more volatile allocation of stocks. It's a higher percentage of stocks. So it's higher risk, higher reward potential. But when does that 2050 fund, when do the allocations start being made?
That will kick in at the end of January, the end of this month. And perhaps I ought to step back a little bit and explain a little bit more about the L funds, the L2050, as well as the other L funds, and how they are designed. When we ran through the returns for the five core funds, you saw the different asset classes that in which we are invested. In addition to that, those core funds, the TSP offers five life cycle funds. These are really funds of funds. They're not different asset classes. What they are is asset allocations arrayed among the five core funds. So we refer to these based on the year and what you think of them as reaching maturity. At some different points in time, these were also referred to as target maturity funds. But what that simply means is that you set a target when you expect to begin drawing down your funds. Some will expect to draw them down when they retire. Some will draw them down at some point after they retire, depending on their own personal plans. We offer five L funds through the end of last year. Those five L funds were the L income fund. That's for people who are planning on drawing down their funds very soon or are currently drawing down their funds. A 2010 fund, which ran through the end of 2010, has since been discontinued. A 2020 fund, 2030, and 2040. The 2010 fund, as I said, was discontinued at the end of last month, and we will put this new 2050 fund on top of the 2040 at the end of January. That'll be, as you said, for the young people coming in who have a long investment horizon. They're willing to take on the risk of the volatility of higher allocations of riskier stocks, knowing that they will be invested for a long time and they can withstand the ups and downs of the market. And through dollar cost averaging and just long-term compound earnings, they will be able to recover from any of these bubbles when they do burst.
Okay, a couple of more questions from Tammy in Virginia. We need to take a short break here. We'll be right back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Geospatial technologies is advancing at a never-before-seen pace. If you're a GIS professional in an organization focused on technology such as satellite imagery, GPS, and spatially-enabled databases, UMBC's Masters in Geographic Information Systems offers the credential you may need to advance your career at a competitive pace with classes at UMBC's convenient Rockville campus. Learn more at umbc.edu/GIS.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview.
Yeah.
And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were a real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Flu shots and future mothers. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. It's flu season, and pregnant women are at an increased risk of becoming infected. Dr. Indu Ahluwalia is an epidemiologist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Influenza infection among pregnant women can result in severe illness and increased hospitalizations and even death.
There is no special flu vaccine for pregnant women.
There are two forms of the vaccine available to the general public, the nasal spray and the flu shot. And the flu shot is what's recommended for pregnant women.
It's recommended that women get the flu vaccine anytime during their pregnancy. Flu season normally goes from August to March. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabek Insider this afternoon. How do you share information in the age of those WikiLeaks leaks? We're going to talk to an expert who helped the State Department create the Diplopedia collaboration tool about lessons learned from WikiLeaks. And the Defense Department, they've just published their final rule on organizational conflicts of interest. What does it mean to you? We'll find out this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabek Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. We're talking about the Federal Thrift Savings Plan, and we couldn't have a better guest than Tom Trabuca. He's Director of External Affairs for the TSP. And we got a batch of questions that people have emailed, and thank you for those. And also on the line, Robert has been holding. Robert, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. What's your question for Tom?
Hi, Tom. I'm a postal employee first. I have not met my MRA yet, and there's say another early outcomes, and I haven't met my MRA. Is it possible for me to access my TSP without a penalty?
The way it works, Robert, is if you separate from service after reaching age 55, you can withdraw from the TSP or from any 401k plan without being subject to the early withdrawal penalty. So the key, it used to be you had to retire. This was a tax law requirement. You had to retire at or after age 55. That was changed so that all you have to do is separate from service with the employer who sponsors the plan in which you're participating, which is the TSP, you know, the government plan. So from the information that you're giving me, as long as you separate from service after reaching age 55, which you've done, you're not subject to the early withdrawal penalty.
So that's what you wanted to hear, Robert, right?
If I'm, say there's an early out and I'm 53 years old, I'd still have to wait till I'm 55. Even though I legally retired?
Actually, if you retire before age 55, if you separate, then you have to wait until you're age 59 and a half. What you have to do is both. You have to be age separate after you reach age 55, then you're okay. Then you're not subject to the early withdrawal penalty. But if you separate or retire before age 55, then you don't get the benefit of the carve-out, basically, which exists in 401k plans and in the TSP, but not in, for instance, IRAs. The IRA, you always have to wait until you're age 59 and a half.
Robert, you say you're with the Postal Service. Is your job looking shaky?
Not really, but with the future, the future's uncertain right now. So if it really all came, I would consider it.
But yeah,
part of the key is my CSP.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I know the Postal Service, they are in negotiations now with their major unions, and the contracts, I think, ran out in November for several of them. So these are tough times to be a postal worker. But Robert, thanks for calling in.
Can I ask you one more quick question?
Yeah.
Now, if I did take, can I take part of the money out and just be penalized on that part of the money before I'm 59 and a half?
You can take a partial withdrawal if you have not taken an age-based withdrawal while you were employed. So, you can do that.
Okay. Robert, thank you. Thanks. Great question. And then we had an email question. I'm trying to find it here, but it's so basic and I don't know the answer and I knew you would. Anyhow, I think they said, when you withdraw, this is from Bob with the defense in the Boston area. And he says, when you withdraw money from your TSP account, how is a withdrawal allocated over your different funds? Can you specify which fund or funds you want the withdrawal to be taken from?
It's a very good question. You cannot specify which fund. It's taken pro rata as your account is arrayed. So if you're 50% C fund, 50% I fund, say, 50% of your withdrawal amount comes out of each of those funds. What you can do after you make your withdrawal, if you want to end up, if you're always eligible to reallocate and to reallocate both and any more contributions you're putting in, as well as your account balances. You just execute an interfund transfer and get back to that allocation that you wanted to have.
That would be a tremendous amount of work for the board if you did it by fund. Need to take a short break here. We'll be right back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every Friday morning at 11, brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community, sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, join host Bill Bransford as he discusses the new telework law and OPM's new unscheduled telework policy with Cindy Auten of Telework Exchange and Paul Rowson of World at Work.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you, and the trial is free when you call 1-800-600-7477 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Senza is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Senza, without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-600-7477. 1-800-600-7477. That's 1-800-600-7477.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Here's Amit Uran, Chairman and CEO, NetWitness Corporation, on the Why is Cybersecurity So Hard panel, sponsored by Unisys.
If there's one thing that all of these headlines have shown us over the last decade, two decades, it's that you're not secure simply by being compliant with the regulations that for your industry. We need to, as organizations, we need to plan for the failure that we know is occurring.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Unisys, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Unisys Identity Solutions provides citizens, employees, and travelers with the means to identify themselves assuredly, conveniently, and effectively in both physical and IT environments. The goal in every identification and credentialing engagement is to provide the highest level of identity assurance in the most convenient and effective manner. Unisys end-to-end solutions incorporate all aspects of identification and credentialing. Learn more about Unisys security offerings. Visit unisys.com.
Plan now to attend a firm's January 20th luncheon to discuss how government is going green.
Learn how to comply with administration requirements that 95% of government's electronic products be energy efficient, and hear from the White House and other policy officials how sustainability will impact all future acquisitions. Join a firm on Thursday, January 20th at 11:30 a.m. in the G.W. Marvin Center in Washington, D.C. Register today at www.affirm.org.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey talking about the Thrift Savings Plan, which is the, it's the biggest of its kind on Earth, isn't it, Tom? What is it? What is the TSP worth now?
That's right. As of the end of November, I don't have the December numbers yet, but as of the end of November, it was $271 billion, and we have 4.4 million participants and growing in both categories. So yes, we are the largest in terms of both dollars and participants at this point.
And when you say 4.4 million, that's more people than work for the government. So obviously this is military, active, and retired.
That's
in both cases, federal and military, active, and retired. 4.4 million accounts. It's interesting to me, and one of the questions we got here from somebody is, he said, do I have to keep my money in the TSP when I retire? Wouldn't it be better off to take it out? And of course, I know you can't answer questions like that. You're not supposed to give financial advice. But so many people keep their money in the TSP because the administrative fees are so low.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that's a number that's continually growing. We now have over 1,140,000 participants who are separated from service but still have their funds on account in the TSP. And so and we're happy to have them. We're happy to process their withdrawal if they have something else they'd like to do with the money. Either way is fine with us, and either one is a good choice as long as participants have thought about it and decided, you know, made a conscious decision about what they want to do.
Okay. Back to the questions, then we're going to get some others here. But Tammy from Virginia sent us a good group, and she says, was the erroneous payment made to all federal employees who were 70 and a half, or did it include other retirees? And the question here is, and you've answered this both in my column and Joe Davidson's column in the Post, but some erroneous payments were made to people?
That's right. Middle of last week, I guess it was, but it was a short week. So it was on Tuesday night, we were preparing to do our year-end distributions, and this is where we separate different populations for payments in 2010, 2011, and there are a number of groups that have to receive notices and payments based on the tax year. Due to a processing error, approximately 9,700 active TSP participants were erroneously issued notices and payments regarding required minimum distributions for participants over age 70 and a half. It's supposed to apply only to the folks who are currently separated and reach age 70 and a half. They are required to begin receiving distributions from their plan. This group of 9,700 were not separated. They were 70 and a half, but they were not separated from service. So they were not subject to the required minimum distribution payment. We are contacting those folks right now. We've issued a letter to them telling them that, here's what you do if you want to send your money back. Just write void on the check, send it back. We give them a special address to send it to, and we tell them that we'll correct the errors and make the accounts whole. So that'll be going on over the next 10 days or so. I think we give people up to 60 days, but the quicker the better. We'd like to get this thing resolved. I expect that most people will want to send their money back. This is one question that Joe had. What if they don't agree and don't send it back? Well, it's their money, so they can keep it. It is subject to taxation if they do keep it.
Right. Okay, very good. And to wrap up here from Tammy, anything new on the TSP website that people should be aware of? And is there anything pending in Congress? And of course, the Congress just took over today. Anything coming up for as far as the TSP goes?
That's right. In terms of the website, I'd say just keep an eye on it. We're changing it, and expanding it, improving it all the time. We did just do a complete makeover of it in the middle of last year. I personally have found it very helpful now. I find that when people call with a question, I can just pop the keywords into the search function and get write to the piece of paper or the explanation that I'm looking for. For instance, I know you got one question the other day in connection with your column on the how is the G fund rate of interest calculated.
Right.
So it came in from you. I took a look at it, just plugged that keyword G fund interest rate in, and lo and behold, a fact sheet came up that told us that tells you precisely how the G fund interest rate is calculated. It's a monthly calculation. It's the same as applies to the Social Security Trust Fund. It's calculated by the Treasury based on all average outstanding debt issued to the public with four or more years to maturity. So it's the intermediate and long-term rate of U.S. Treasury debt outstanding. From there, you can continue to look. Yeah. If you even want to know more, there's more in there for you.
Yeah, I checked your website this morning, and it is different from the one I saw, it seems, a few weeks ago. There's some different functions in it.
That's
good,
right.
Good question here from Brian in the Defense Department. It says, my naive perception years back was that the International Fund, that would be the I Fund, would include some investment in the developing countries and their emerging markets. However, when I reviewed the investments within the fund, I found it was mostly old Europe and Japan. Is there any plan to include more emerging markets in the international investments, or the creation of a separate developing country international fund? That's a good question, because you have Vietnam, Korea, Brazil are suddenly coming on very strong.
That's right. It is a very good question, and I believe he has a good memory, because we did take a look at that. It's about 3 years ago now, with our investment consultant Ennis Canup and Associates. We did a macro kind of review of the different investment options that are out there to decide whether or not we should seek additional authority for other funds, or perhaps broaden the funds that we currently have. For instance, the International Fund is indeed, as he notes, developed countries. We do not include the emerging companies in that right now. That's because we took a look at it, and there were a number of issues that had to be resolved, both with a fund the size of ours, as well as with how those stock markets are emerging. Anybody who wants to take a look at that study, they can find it on our business website, frtib.gov. It's a report issued by Ennis Canup and Associates, and the whole report is there if you want to take a look at it, and why we decided not to go forward with it at that time 3 years ago. But we will review these periodically. I think we're on about a 5-year cycle to review the current investment choices and see if there's anything else that should be added.
Well, you know, I remember, and it must have been about 10 years ago now, maybe a little bit more, the two hottest places to invest were Ireland, you know, the Celtic Tiger, and Russia.
That's right.
Emerging funds, and some people did very well in them for a while. And now we know Ireland is, had to go hat in hand to the European Union for money, and Russia is Russia. And so those markets, interesting to note, if you're in the international fund, an I fund, the reason for the volatility, just look at Pakistan just the other day, assassination of a major governor there that could, destabilize the country over religious reasons. And we had this this volcano, of all things, in Iceland some months, I guess in the summer, that literally shut down Europe for a time. So when you're investing in the international market, you really are spreading your chances for gain or loss.
That's right. And, if you're there at the right time, as they say, mm-hmm. it could pay off well. But we're trying to create an investment here for all times, and not just for people to get in and out of the market, but to add those asset groups that are basically ripe. One other thing you've got to remember is the size of this fund at $271 billion. It's very large, and it could affect smaller slices of the market. We try to go broader. Yeah. Rather than to go more narrowly, because when you're narrow, you can, in fact, affect those markets. And that's one of the things that Congress wanted to avoid when it created this fund.
I want to ask you something about specialized funds and investing when we come back from a break here on WFED 1500 AM.
courage. The true meaning of the word is often forgotten. The Washington Capitals want to remind everyone what true courage is. Through Courage Caps, the Capitals will raise funds to help the truly courageous men and women who defend our country and their families. The Capitals are selling Courage Caps and T-shirts, with all proceeds benefiting our military kids, an organization that's dedicated to supporting National Guard and military reserve families, one child at a time. Join the Capitals and show your courage by purchasing a Courage Cap at WashingtonCaps.com today.
Hi, everybody. It's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show. Tune in next Sunday and every Sunday at 11 right here on 1500 and 820 a.m. to hear the latest from the food and wine scene. We've got celebrity chefs, sommeliers, winemakers, and more all here to tell you about the inside skinny that you won't find anywhere else. That's Foodie and the Beast this Sunday at 11.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
The Dorabeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorabeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorabeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorabeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Federal. Hi, Mike Causey. Welcome back to Your Turn. Talking with Tom Trabuca. He is Director of External Affairs for the Federal Thrift Investment Board. And Tom, a batch of good questions with people have emailed in and a call. Here's one. Here's one from a guy who is a he's a bank examiner with Uncle Sam, and he says the article about the TSP today was interesting. I think a REIT, which would be a real estate investment trust, and maybe an emerging markets option wouldn't be riskier. It would be less risky because our retirement would be diversified. Five funds and only two asset classes is pretty highly concentrated, and we're missing out on many foreign markets and asset classes like real estate and commodities. And we, and I know you get this all the time, and you get it from members of Congress as well. There have been plans in the proposals in the past to set up a gold fund, a precious metals fund, a dot-com fund, one link to the NASDAQ, one link to minority-owned businesses, green funds, that is, funds that are environmentally correct and all that sort of thing. And I know that the TSP has not done that. Why not?
Well, there are a number of reasons, and it depends on the particular fund. And I should start by saying that, that the TSP has looked at a number of these funds. Some of them, right off the bat, we have said we're not going to pursue that because of our legislative history. For instance, on investing for social purposes, there is a clear legislative history where Congress considered allowing social investments in the TSP, but then went back in the final language and said, no, we think that this should be just for financial and economic pursuits, not for other pursuits. So that's the way the TSP is going to run. So on something like that, it's clear our enabling legislation says this is the way you'll do it without regard for social or other considerations, and that's how we do it. On others, you might look at a fund, say, for instance, people are familiar with the effort to establish a REIT fund a few years ago by certain members of Congress and by an industry group, which is that, you know, their right to do, and they, you know, were petitioning Congress to try to do this, and add a REIT fund. What a lot of people don't understand is that we already have REITs in the TSP. That's the beauty of our broad-based index design, that at that point, our S fund, small capitalization fund, 8% of it was comprised of REIT investments, and 1%, 1 to 2% of our C fund, the large cap, were comprised of REIT investments. So they are in there, and they are in there in the same allocation that they command in the marketplace, which is exactly what we're supposed to do, to track those broad indexes in the market. There are unique issues relating to some funds. For instance, if you get very narrow, if we were to open an investment in a fund that was very narrowly drawn, you'll find that there's not much capitalization there, and we could just dominate that particular sector. And that, as I said earlier, is something that we want to avoid. What we want to do is give federal employees, and what Congress wanted to do when it set this up, is give federal employees a chance to invest in the market without affecting the markets.
You know, it's interesting when you mention REIT funds. I very well remember, and there was tremendous pressure from individuals and groups and members of Congress. And at the time, their argument, you couldn't find any holes in it. The REITs were doing wonderfully well, and they argued at the time, I remember they said, this is not like the housing market. This is commercial real estate, and they're making money hand over fist. I think they were returning 10 and 20% routinely, and you could see nothing wrong with it, but the bottom fell out of that.
That's right. That's right. And again, it was a narrow market. Remember, even at that point, the capitalization of that sector was about $400 billion. And again, we're investing $270 billion ourselves every day. So it just doesn't match up well in terms of the size of that market vis-a-vis the size of our investments.
Do you see whether it's from political interest, pressure, what have you, or just general interest, do you see an expansion of the TSP in the investment options in the coming years?
Yeah, I do, Mike. I don't see it expanding much. I see it being a very careful expansion, such as we have had over the last 23 years. Remember, when the initial legislation was enacted in 1986, the only investment option available to participants was the G fund. In 1988, that was opened to include the C and the F funds. In 1996, after careful study, Congress authorized the addition of the small and international stock funds. And then in the early aughts, I think it was 2003, thereabouts, maybe it was four or five now, these years run into each other
funds.
After a while.
Yeah.
We started the L funds. That's right. So the flexibility is there. Willingness to look at what's going on in the market and take advantage of anything new that consistent with the philosophy, the investment philosophy of the fund, will help federal and postal employees, members of the uniformed services, prepare for retirement. This board is more than willing to do that, to look at it, to examine it, and to recommend improvements to the Congress. And I should say the Congress has been, on a bipartisan basis, very supportive of this program. This is not one where there has been really any controversy whatsoever. Congress is very big into encouraging saving and investing for retirement, folks on both sides of the aisle, and they have been very supportive of this program.
And you have a board, too, of composed of unions and professional groups representing feds that oversee this. I want to ask you a couple of questions about expansion when we come back after a short break here on WFED 1500 AM.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous! Hi, I'm Steve Bostick, president of Right Size Smoothies, and when I heard that, I was shocked, because I know that if you feed your body right, You can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-400-0861. And now I've made my smoothies even better because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-400-0861. That's 1-800-400-0861.
Listen next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour's Conversation with Authors series, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. What are the benefits of regulatory partnerships? How can new approaches to public-private partnerships enhance food safety? Join host Michael Keegan as he profiles 3 IBM Center reports and explores these questions and more with authors Russ Mills, Cassandra Mosley, Professors Noel Grease, and Monica Noguera. Next week on the Business of Government Hour.
When it comes to electronic medical records, everyone is trying to understand meaningful use. If you are a federal program manager and would like to explore this topic with your peers, come to a free January breakfast forum brought to you by Solutions Developers. Our speaker will be Dr. Harry Greenspun, Chief Medical Officer from Dell, located at AFE headquarters near the Courthouse Metro, and you'll be out by 9 a.m. Moderated by me, John Gilroy. For more details, call me at 703-674-2464.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few. The proud. The Marines.
Okay, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and my guest today has been Tom Trabuca. He's the Director of External Affairs for the Federal Thrift Investment Board, and these are the people that run your thrift savings plan. And as Tom mentioned earlier, it's up to, is it $271 billion?
That's correct.
Wow, that's big. That's bigger than, that's more money than some countries have. Yeah. $271 billion. Do you know how that's allocated now? I mean, most of it, at one point, I remember when the market was going great, most of the money was in the C fund, and I believe now it's shifted to the G fund?
That's right. It does move back and forth. The G fund is currently 43% of the total. The F fund 7%. So 50% are in the stable value funds, if you will. Our C fund includes 24%. S fund 8%, and I fund 7%. Now our L funds total. I won't give each of the five. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There we go. 5, 10, 12, looks like it's about 13% of the total of $271 million is invested in the L funds.
Okay, that's good. Coming up, 2011, presumably this year, there may be a Roth option available within the TSP?
That's right. This is the last big benefit enhancement that was included in the TSP Enhancements Act of 2009. It was enacted and signed into law in June of 2009. We had a number of items that we have implemented already in that. They included automatic enrollment, the immediate employer contribution, spousal accounts, and now we're getting down to the final two provisions in there. The Roth, which we are looking at implementing in the first quarter of 2012. And then finally, the law also authorizes a mutual fund window. We have not put a date on that. Congress did not put a date on that. We do have the authorization for it, and we will continue to look into that provision as well.
I had forgotten about that. So that's the one that would open a window when people could put some of their money into an outside mutual fund, one that designated by the board.
That's right. And this would be a way for those people who want to get into those more narrow or exotic investments to do so in a manner in which they pay for all the costs of it. It's not borne by other participants who are, you know, completely comfortable with the investments that we have.
That's very good. So if you think, for instance, Vietnam is an emerging market and you want a piece of it, or that Ireland has bottomed out and has nowhere to go but up, you could get into one of those broader mutual funds that would give you that option.
That's right. The way we expect it would work is that we would come up with a contractual arrangement with an investment firm that offers its platform and its array of various investments. And then what you could do is take some of your funds in the TSP, take it out of the TSP, send it over to that platform for investment there.
So then that would be a one-shot deal.
No, I believe it would be ongoing, but a lot of work to do.
I remember at the Washington Post, they let us at one point, they opened a window where we could take money out of the 401k plan there and put it into something else. Mm-hmm. And a number of us did it really just to play around, and we were young and foolish and thought we could read the market. I don't think anybody did better than we would have done under our old plan, but we got it out of our system. We sowed our wild oats, if you will. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think that those are coming up, and that's you're talking right. about the Roth possibly in 2012.
That's right, in the first quarter of 2012. And then we had one item left over from the current Congress, and as you noted, the Congress is just organizing today, and it's unclear yet what their agenda is going to be with regard to federal employee retirement and benefits. But we do know that the legislative proposal to allow contributions from terminal unused annual leave into the TSP, similar to what private sector plans can do, was introduced in the last Congress, and it was a bipartisan introduction. It has support of both Democrats and Republicans. The issue that we ran into with that was the cost, because anytime you're expanding the sources of funding for a pre-tax investment like this, where you can shelter taxation, you're reducing the receipts of the Treasury. So in the congressional in the legislative process, you have to offset the costs associated with that. The cost calculated on that legislation was $317 million by the Congressional Budget Office. We were not able to identify an offset for that in the last Congress, so it was not enacted. But it's still an issue that's out there, and some of these sometimes take quite a while to get done. In fact, the earlier one we mentioned about immediate employer contributions, that had a $1 billion price tag when first proposed back in the late 1990s. It finally happened 10 years later. It took a while, but once the offset was found, it was put into place.
That's right. And that five-year estimate, that estimate was over a five-year period.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. All right. Tom Trabuco, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to have you back here. And thanks for answering questions about the TSP. Remember, our shows are archived on our homepage, so you can listen anytime and tell a friend about them. And we'll see you here next week. Have a good week.
Don't be surprised by the latest changes to your commute. Get traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 8s on 103.5 FM, WTOP Radio. Now back on 107.7 FM.
I'm Police Officer Sergeant Goodwin. I've been looking into a report of thieves operating in this area. We have now located their hideout, and it's at your local bank. The banks are robbing you blind.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. He's right. If you've got a mortgage, your bank is stealing from you, because a typical monthly mortgage payment is 90% or more interest, and over the life of a 30-year mortgage, that can cost you a fortune. It should be illegal. But there's a proven way to eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. To prove it, let me send you a copy of my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. Stop getting robbed of your money and future. Get my powerful Live Debt-Free CD. Call 1-800-600-1195. For your free copy of my Live Debt-Free CD, call 1-800-600-1195.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges.